With the permission of the Rosh Yeshivas, it's a big honor to be visiting here. Although we live b'shchinas, Baruch Hashem, we live next door. And we're very, very much aware of all what's going on in Or Sameach, in all its divisions and faculties. But it's always good to see personally and visit. And Baruch Hashem, we have an impressive audience, and we hope we'll be able to say some words of chizuk and to'eles. Last week in Parashat Balak, we see that Balak had a very seemingly ambitious plan to bring Bilam and to curse Klal Yisrael. It's quite clear what his method of thinking was. Since he saw that the whole Hatzlocha of Klal Yisrael is beyond anything natural, it's very obvious that the Hatzlocha is Ruchni, spiritual. So he thought he'd bring along Bilam, whereas Hazal say that although in Klal Yisrael there was never going to be someone on the prophetic level as Moshe Rabbeinu, by the Goyim there would be, and that was Bilam HaRasha. Having someone on the level of Moshe, who also had spiritual powers, he hoped he could do something for him through his klolas. We see very clearly from all the nevuas of Bilam, which were his curses, which Hashem turned into broches, we see very clearly what the message is. Right from the very beginning, Ki am levadad yishkon, ubagoyim lo yithashav. Hashem is telling him, it won't work this time. Your koiches go all the way up spiritually to the shivim sarim. When Hashem divided up the world, as it says, the end of Bereishis, at the time of the Dora Plaga, He divided up the world to 70 nations. He appointed for each nation a sar, a mazal, elyon, a shamayim. The sarim, all these different nations, are ruled over by their sarim, by their particular mazal. The koyach of kishuf of Bilam could go all the way up to the sarim. He could manipulate them, change the order, cause one to be fighting with another, one to conquer another. That he could do very well. But he didn't realize that the kesher of Klal Yisrael is beyond all of that. We have a direct line with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ki am levadad yishkon, ubagoyim lo yithashav. The whole, if you look through the whole parasha, all his four nevuas are built around this nekuda of that Hashem was telling him, there's no way you can harm Klal Yisrael. I don't change my mind. I'm not a human being. I've already decided. I want to bless them. It won't work. So really, here we have the Yesoide Yesoides of Toiras Yisrael. Ki am levadad yishkon. We have a personal correct connection with Borei Olam. Yisrael lemala min hamazal. Of course, as Hazal say, Hakol toli b'mazal, afil sefer toira shebehechal, but Yisrael lemala min hamazal. How could it be? As long as we develop and strengthen our personal connection with Hashem, we have a private hanhaga directly from Hashem, not through all the sarim, not through all the mazalot. We have a direct connection with Hashem. But Hasr Shalom, if a person lives a life of mikrehu, He thinks that what happens is just coincidence. He doesn't see the hand of Hashem involved in every single thing that takes place in the world. If a person chooses that way of life, then he does fall under the ruling of mazal. Of course, everything has a mazal. But we have a way of getting, being disconnected from the mazalot and having a private, special connection with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the Yisoides of Torah Yisrael. And that's really the avoider of every Jew, that we have to work on this connection with Hashem. To come closer to Hashem, to understand His Torah, to keep His mitzvahs, to work on our midas, as much as we can do to develop this connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The more we develop the personal connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the less we are connected with all the hanhoga of the mazalos, and the more we have a spiritual life, a life of Kedusha and Tahara. We know the Torah Kedusha, which we received on Mount Sinai. Moshe Rabbeinu received Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaal Peh. The written Torah and the oral Torah. The written Torah developed further during the time of the prophets. We have Nevi'im, we have Ksuvim. And finally, although the Torah Shebaal Peh was handed down verbally from generation to generation, finally it was written, Rabbi wrote the Mishnayos, Rabbi Yochanan wrote the Talmud Yerushalmi, and later on, Rabbina and Rabbi Ashi wrote the Talmud Babli. Other Tanoim, Amoraim, they wrote the Medroshim, the Tosefta's, the Sifri, Safra. All the holy Sforim that we have, which within them, the Torah Shebaal Peh is explained, is expounded. Part of the Torah Shebaal Peh is also Sisrei Torah. The Torah has as well the secrets of the Torah. And it's part of the Torah HaKadosha. However, first of all, just like the Torah Shebaal Peh in general was not meant ever to be written down. However, when Rabbeinu HaKadosh saw the developing situations in the world, that there was a hashash, there was a chance that, God forbid, Torah would be forgotten, he started writing, he learned from the Pasuk, Et la'asot la'Hashem, heferu toratecha. It's a time to do for Hashem. So we have to transgress the words of Torah. Although we were forbidden to write the oral Torah, now we have to write it. And on that heter, they wrote, as we said, all the Torah Shebaal Peh. Still, there was not a similar heter to write down Sisrei Torah. The secrets of the Torah, although, of course, again, there was a hashash that they would be forgotten, but the heter to write them down was much less. The reason being that although everyone must learn Torah, we cannot do without it, as it says, Lo buri rehet velo am haaretz hasid. You can't keep mitzvahs if you don't know the dinim of Torah. And of course, beyond just knowing Torah lahalocha, there's the din of vehagisa bo yomam v'layla. You have to learn Torah day and night. But Sisrei Torah was never anything which was given over to the public in a general way. The Zohar says, Beferush, lav kol moha u'moha savil da. Not every mind is cut out to understand Sisrei Torah. Even in the time of Chazal, the Soides HaTorah were taught only to very exclusive groups of Gedolei Yisrael who had reached that level that they were suitable to learn Torah. We have a Mishnah in Maseches Hagiga, Perek Beis, Ein Doyrshim B'Maseh Merkava B'Yochid, etc. The Mishnah puts down halachas, and all the halachas of the Torah embedded in the Mishnah are nitzchias. These halachas will never change, cannot ever change. Any halacha which is mefurush in Mishnah and Gemara and embedded in the Shulchan Aruch, these are all funitzius, are forever. And the Mishnah clearly says, what are the conditions the Gemara discusses, who can learn, who are the people, what type of a level do you need for a person to be able to learn the secrets of Torah, the Chochmas HaKabbalah. And according to the criteria we see explained in the Mishnah, it's only a very, very exclusive group of Gdoile Torah, Gdoile Israel, not only Gdoilim in the knowledge of Torah, Torah Sanigle, but also people who are perfect in their Dukduka mitzvahs, Bnei Aliyah, Bale Midas Toives, people who have worked on their Midas to perfect their character traits, someone who is really very little connected in worldly matters and very, very strongly connected spiritually to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the Torah, to mitzvahs only. Such a person could be the type of person who could learn Sisri Torah. As we said, these dinim are part of our Mishnah, Gemara, Shulchan Aruch. So it's not something that is going to change over time. So even Rav Shimon Bar Yochai gave Rishus to his Talmid Rabbi Abba to write the secrets of the Torah that he had taught him in the Sefer HaZohar HaKadosh. The Arizal explains, and it says so in the Zohar, that the reason that he chose Rabbi Abba, first of all, the reason why Rav Shimon Bar Yochai himself was the greatest ever general teacher of the Chochmas HaKabbalah, was that he had a special talent to know how to speak in a code language in such a way that only his immediate group, who he had revealed to them the secrets, how to crack that code and know what he meant when he used certain words, will understand what he's saying. And Rabbi Abba knew to write down the secrets of the Zohar in such a, in code language, in a way that if anyone who would open up these books, who was never taught the secrets of that code, he would everything which is written in these books really do not make sense if they're taken literally. They have to be understood according to the secret code which went from mouth to ear, from one great teacher to a great Talmid. Yichide Segula, one in a generation, one in a door, as it was handed down through Klal Israel throughout the generations. In other words, the Zohar, if we know how it is to learn a Daf Gemara. We are smashing our brains over it day and night in yeshiva. We know till we can read a Gemara correctly, till we know how to punctuate it, just that our kriya will be correct, till we can understand the simple meaning that Rashi puts in, understand then the Mahalach of Tosfos, the Rambam, other Rishonim. We could spend really, just if we want to understand in depth a Daf Gemara, it could take years maybe to understand it fully with all the Rishonim and the Achronim. Lasukya Shmaitza Alibad Hilchisa, to be able to develop that Gemara all the way down to the Halacha. And the Gemara was never meant to be a hidden sefer. Hazal, when they wrote down the Gemara, they didn't hide anything. Everything was meant to be exactly as they said, taken literally and understood. Probably they wrote in the most clear Lashon that they could. And even so, it's so difficult. How much more so when we're speaking about the secrets of the Torah, which were written in a code language, number one. Secondly, everything was written in these forim, written b'kitzu nimratz. As Rabbi Chaim Vital says in his forim, he is the Talmid of the Arizal, the greatest ever author of the writings of the Arizal in Kabbalah. He wrote, I've written my book in such a way, first of all, he says, I only wrote a few hakdamas that I was allowed to. We know his forim, it would take a lifetime for a Gadol B'Yisrael to learn. A Gadol B'Yisrael would need a lifetime, and they don't mean a Gadol in this generation. I mean, even 250, 300 years ago, it would take a lifetime to be able to learn in depth all his writings. He said, he learned with the Arizal 1 year and 10 months. The whole connection was 1 year and 10 months. That was all the time he had to learn from the Arizal. And what he wrote in his 8 gates of Kabbalah, the Shmoyna Sha'orim they're called, would take a lifetime for God will be Israel to learn. And who knows how many yichidim from those gedolim could really get to the full depth of that wisdom. He goes on to say, A lot of what I received, I was never allowed to transmit in writing. And even what I wrote in a way that was Megale Tefach Umchase Alpaim Amma. If we have any mathematicians here, maybe they can calculate to me just exactly how much he revealed and how much he's covering in each word that he wrote. He's Megale Tefach and Mechase Alpaim Amma. You could almost say that more than we expect to be reading the words and understanding what's written, we have to know what's under the words. And maybe we have to know the white of the page surrounding the words. It's so full of content in depth and hidden that it's almost impossible to understand. Besides the fact it was written in code language, we know everything in the Gemara is to do with our physical world. The Gemara says, any Mishnah you take, shor, bor, mave, we know what that is. An ox, we know what that is. A boar, we know what that is. We have no problem to understand and to relate to these concepts. Aisha niknet be shloisha drochim, kesef, we know what that is. Mishtar, we know. These are all things we see and feel and aware of in our physical world. But the Chochmas HaKabbalah is not speaking about anything physical. It's not even speaking about the human soul. It's speaking about spiritual worlds which the Creator created billions and billions of light years above anything of all the universe. If today modern science, with all their improved technology and the most powerful telescopes, have no way to see the end of the universe. The universe is literally tachtis oilam asiya, is the lowest physical part of the lowest world that Hashem created. The Pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, va'alamot en mispar. The Zohar says, al tikri va'alamot, ela va'olamot en mispar. He created worlds beyond this, level after level, spiritual and more spiritual and more spiritual. So when we're speaking about what Chochmas HaKabbalah is intended to talk about, we're speaking the concepts of the Creator Himself, how He created the world, what's the purpose of creation, and everything is related to the higher, higher worlds which are completely spiritual. The reason it's called Soides HaTorah, because the very concepts you're speaking about are secrets. They're not something visible, they're not something that can be seen, they're not something that can be touched and felt and heard. They're completely abstract and spiritual in such a way that it's impossible for a person to relate to them. We have no capability to talk about them. Just like the Rambam writes in the beginning, in the Soidei HaTorah, our own Torah Kedosha, Torah Shebekhtav, it says, it uses many metaphors whenever it speaks about Hashem. It says, Yad Hashem, Enei Hashem, Vayerach Hashem, Vaydaber Hashem, Vamdu Raglav Vayom Ahu. We know that Hashem Ein Lo Dmut, Ein Lo Tzura. He's not physical, He doesn't have eyes and ears and hands. All these things are all human concepts which exist only in this world and certainly not in the highest spiritual worlds, and how much more so that Borei Olam Himself is beyond anything physical. That's Me'ikra Amunah. But even so, the Sifrei Kabbalah used, just like the Torah used, all forms of physical description, relating them to the higher world, the spiritual world, and to Hashem also. Now, anyone who is superficial in his learning, anyone who doesn't have a very, very pure neshama that he worked for years and years to purify his neshama, when he's going to learn those concepts, is going to be over on a very big issa called Hakshama. When you learn these spiritual matters, you're not allowed to, although you're using the normal talk, we could say Yad Hashem, Ozne Hashem, Ene Hashem, we could say all these things, but it doesn't mean anything physical. A person who's not very spiritual, automatically when he uses these words, in his mind, everything that he reads will appear, will be understood in the physical sense. And that's a very great sin. A person must be on such a high level spiritually that he uses the concepts in a completely, just as a moshul, to through them to get to the nimshel of the Seidei HaTorah, to the secrets of the Torah, without in any way linking the spiritual concept with the physical tziur, the physical dmus, which comes into his mind when he says one of these words which relate to our physical world. That's why Rav Chaim Vital, in the beginning of his book, Etz Chaim, made a whole list of conditions, Sur Merava Asetov, where he makes a big oath. He swears in the name of Hashem that anyone who wants to learn his Sefer has to keep these Anhoges, Sur Merava Asetov, which are very much B'derech Hasidus. They demand a lot of a person to be on a very, very high spiritual level, very much Bedaktik on his Kiyum HaMitzvahs, and very much medactic on his Tikkun HaMidas. After, as he says very clearly, only after that a person has learned Kol HaTorah Kula. As the Rambam wrote, Al Yitael Adam Bepardes Ad Shemila Kriso Bebasar Ve'Yain. You don't walk around in the garden of Sisrei Torah, of the secrets of Torah, till you fill yourself with meat and wine, meaning Lachma Shel Torah, Yena Shel Torah. You've been Yageh and Shas and Poiskim. You've learned Torah Be'iyun. Plus, you've brought yourself to that spiritual level that could allow you, maybe, as we'll speak a bit later, to have any connection with this type of learning. So now we can understand the words of Zohar: Lav Kol Mocha Umocha Savil Da. The Gedolei Israel throughout the generations, Rabbi Tzadik HaKohen writes about this. He says the mitzvah of learning Sisrei Torah, although the Arizal says that to mekayim mitzvahs Talmud Torah b'shleimis, you have to learn Torah in all its chalokim, pshat, remes, drus, sod, but still, you're not mechuyev on the chelek of the sod till you reach that level that you are appropriate to learn it. But if you're not on that level, you've done enough. You'll be rewarded from keeping away from it more than if you dabble with it and play around with it. It's playing with fire. As Rav Chaim Vital said, there's no guarantees. People who foolishly trample into the garden like an elephant taking a stroll in a beautiful king's garden, he's going to mess up the garden, he's going to smash all the trees and all the beautiful lawns. That's how it could be. It's very dangerous. That Hashem appointed angels to guard his Torah HaKdoisha, the secrets of his Torah, from people who are not the right people to learn. It is true that the Zohar and the great Mekubalim wrote the end of days, before the coming of Mashiach, that the Chochmas HaKabbalah will become more revealed. But it certainly didn't mean that people on a low level of learning Torah, of keeping mitzvahs, are allowed to dabble in these spiritual studies. That's very clear. It would never change. It's a Mishnah, as we said. It's a halacha. It cannot change. However, my interpretation of that is that those who are on the right level to learn, they will have tremendous siyata d'shmaya in their learning. And that is written in many sforim, especially the Leshem, Rabbi Yoshev's grandfather, the famous Cohen, who wrote many wonderful books in Kabbalah. He lived about 80, 90 years ago. He writes very clearly that there's tremendous siyata d'shmaya for the Gedolei Israel who are going to learn Kabbalah, B'kdusha Ptara, in the end of days, to understand many, many inyoni which were hidden before. And we don't question that, meaning how could it be that the Rishonim maybe it was more difficult for them to learn, and the Achronim it's easier for them to learn. Hashem runs the world. He gives the siyata d'shmaya in the right way. Just as we have no explanation why in the last 30 years there's been such an upheaval in the world of Baalei Teshuvah, that's also a very, very special occurrence that people from all over the world have this Oirerus for Teshuvah, which is almost not feasible b'seichel to understand how this is happening. And we know that Hashem runs the world and He's planting in people's heart the interest to look for the emes and to come back to Torah. And not only to come back, but to study Torah and become Talmidei Chachomim, as we see many Baalei Tshuvas have attained very nice levels of Torah and Avoda. This is also something which is beyond our comprehension if we just think about it very simply. It's also a very unbelievable thing which is taking place. However, I understand this to mean, as we see today, throughout the last 300, maybe even 400 years ago, all the Gdoilei Israel based their learning of Torah, their teaching of Torah, the Halacha, Musa and Hashkafa, on the secrets of the Zohar and the Kisvei Arizal. For example, if you open up, you want to learn Shulchan Aruch, everyone knows the first Perish you have to look at, the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham didn't miss once to quote Issa B'Ksovim. He quotes in every case that the Arizal has an opinion in Halacha, he quotes it in the Magen Avraham. And from the Magen Avraham, there are many other poskim who add on more and bring the opinions. Bichlal, the Gdoilei poskim by the Sfaradim, speaking already from 450 years ago till today, They even rely the halacha on the Das Arizal. Most of the minhagim in tefillah, in kiyuma mitzvahs, the Sfaradim do al pi Kabbalas Arizal. Even when the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Yosef Karo, differs with the Arizal, we go always according to the opinion of the Arizal and not according to the Shulchan Aruch. Even in the most Chumrah, where most Machmer concerning Sofik Brochas, we know that any opinion in Halacha, if there's a Sofik, we don't say a Brocha. Sofik Brochas, the Hakel, if the Arizal's opinion is to say a Brocha, even if the Shulchan Aruch is against it, we say the Brocha like the Arizal without any Chashash. The biggest proof of that is Hanoten La Ya'ef Koach. In the Shulchan Aruch, Maran says, Ein Levarech Ota. And all the kehillahs without any yoitzim in a klal, by the Ashkenazim it's bichlal, the minhag to say it. By the Sfaradim was never the minhag. And because of the Arizal, they could own, even though it's a Sofik brochas. So, what do we see here? We see here that the Kabbalah has become part of the Shulchan Aruch. It's embedded in our kiyuma mitzvahs. There's not a single mitzvah that we can do. In any siddur you take up, you have the concepts of the Mekubalim included in the halachas, which all of Klal Yisrael keep. Beyond that, all the Chassidish Sfarim, all the Gdoilei Chassidus, everything they write is based on the Zohar HaKadosh and the Kisvei Ari. The Ramchal, I can say, he didn't even write one word in his life which is not based on Kisvei Ari and Zohar HaKadosh. Not one word. Every one of his books, he can write in such a way you think, you know, wow, how clever he is. There's not one word which is not based on the Zohar and the Kisvei Ari. Just like you could have a Biura grow on the Shulchan Aruch, where he would tell you each part of a Saif in a Shulchan Aruch, where it comes from which Rishon, according to which Havana, in which Daf in the Gemara, you could write, you could make a Mekoiris to the Kisvei Ramchal, and every single word you could write in the margin exactly from which sugya is coming from in the Kisvei Ari or the Zohar Kodesh. And we know that the words of the Ramchal, everyone learns the Mesilas Yesharim, the Derech Hashem, and some of his other deeper books. They're part and parcel of Klal Yisrael. And then you have all the Gdoilei, Talmidei HaGro, the Gro himself. The Gro wrote more in Kabbalah than he wrote in Nigle. If you put in the scales, all that he wrote in Nigle against what he wrote in Kabbalah way, way outweighs what he wrote in Kabbalah. Much more in Kabbalah. And his Talmidim, you see the Nefesh HaChaim, the Rav Chaim Velozhin, and all the Gdoilei HaMusa. People read the Musa of the Gdoilei Musa by the Rebbe Yisrael Salanter or others, and there won't be one quotation from the Zohar or from Kisvei Ari. These were always hidden. But everything, someone who knows, every single word they say is based on the Havana of the Mikubalim. So we see that what Rav Shimon Bar Yochai says, that in the time of Mashiach, the words of the Zohar and the Kabbalah will be spread out in the whole of Klal Yisrael has been mikuyam, whether it's lahalocha, for more by the Sfaradim, maybe a little less by the Ashkenazim, and in Hashkofa and Musa, in Hasidis, everything is based on Sisrei Torah. So really, whether we are aware of it or we're not aware of it, of course we have with us, every single Jew today has with him, when he keeps Torah and learns Musa and learns Drush, whatever he's learning, he's linked up with the concepts of the Zohar being brought into the world in a way that people can connect up to them and to relate to them. So from here we come really to a situation which we meet up with very often. We said, Baruch Hashem, we're in a generation, there are many Baalei Tshuvas. These Baalei Tshuvas are really looking for the emes, looking for the truth. Usually when you're looking for the truth, first you meet up with a lot of sheker. So we know so many people like today in Eretz Yisrael, we know that there are hundreds and thousands, I think it's more than 500,000 of Israeli teenagers roaming around in the Far East looking for the truth. They're all there in Goa, in Kathmandu, in all these strange places. They're looking for the truth. They have it in their own backyard, but this they didn't ever trouble to look into. Okay, so we know that there are many, many people looking for the truth in all sorts of strange ways, in strange religions, and in all sorts of occult practices, even witchcraft, and all sorts of crazy things, that anything, people want to attach themselves to anything spiritual. And there is a lot of cheap spirituality available. Like in everything, the Zohar always says, whatever is cheap, whatever is for free, is from the Sisra Achra. Whatever is expensive and difficult to attain, is from the Kedusha. The Zohar says, that to have any hasogas, any a spiritual uplifting, and let's say that a person could feel something spiritual from Sister the Kedusha, from the holy side, he would have to be on a tremendous level. And if he would slip off from in the most small way, maybe a small hakpoda of kas, anger, maybe a little of gaiva, he would lose all his spiritual levels immediately. Whereas to link up to spirituality through the channels of impurity, it's very easy. You snap your finger and you're gone. And this is what many people have been through. They've roamed around and they've involved themselves with the occult through all sorts of non-Jewish practices and sometimes warped and corrupt Jewish practices. And in their own minds, in their own demureness, they've already tasted spirituality. They've already seen all sorts of strange things by the gurus, all sorts of miracles, all sorts of fantastic things. Most of them are tricks, by the way. And now they're looking in their own backyard. They want to come to learn Torah. They hear the Torah is the source of all religions. So they're looking for yeshiva. Maybe if they have mazel, they'll end up in Or Sameach. The first thing, they sat down in front of a Daf Gemara. They don't see much spirituality. You have a kasha, you have a teretz, you have a diyug, you have rishonim, you have rachronim, you're smashing your brains out. Where's the angels floating around? Everyone's looking for all the quick fix situations to see all the, you know, what they saw by the gurus, all these strange things happening. Once someone visited me, he says, I heard, Rabbi, that you teach Kabbalah, you learn Kabbalah, but it can't be. I said, why? He says, you're completely normal. In other words, people expect, you know, people have this type of expectation that think that anything abnormal, oh, that's a mekubel, yeah. It must be, you know, strange, different. Unfortunately, that everything has become warped in the minds of people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mezakeh me. We were zoich to mishamish gedolei ha-mikubalim more than 40 years ago. These people were so hidden, so humble, so tznua. They would never allow themselves to be called Rav, never mind Mekubal. There was no way. If you try to give them any cover, to kiss the hands, they would pull the hand away. They were living lives of modesty, hiding themselves. If anyone would get a bracha and then say, Rabbi, your prayers came through, I had a baby, I had a refuah. Chas v'shalom, it's not me. Chnufa v'sheker. You're flattering me with lies. You're telling me it's me, who am I? There's a story about the Chafetz Chaim. When he was still quite young, someone came to him crying that he didn't have children. So the Chafetz Chaim gave him a bracha and then said to him, look, I'll give you some secret advice. And go to that village here and there. There's a very old yid there, very holy yid. Get a bracha from him. That's bodukum nos mnuse, you'll have a baby. He went to the old yid, got a bracha, and he had a baby. But he told him one condition, you can never reveal that secret. Okay? He kept it secret for maybe 30 years. And then someone very close to him didn't have a child, and he couldn't help, he divulged a secret. He says, look, I was once by the Chofetz Chaim, he sent me to that village, it's an old yid, maybe he's still alive, maybe you can get a bracha. So the guy went to the village, he got the bracha, and nothing happened. So eventually, this yid went back to the Chofetz Chaim and said, Rebbe, I was here 40 years ago, you sent me to that village to get a bracha from the tzaddik, and I had a baby. I divulged the secret after many, many years, but it didn't help. So Chofetz Chaim started crying. And someone in the house said to him, you fool. He says, I remember when you came here. When you came here, the Chofetz Chaim took so much to heart your suffering. For 40 days consecutively, he fasted every day from dawn till sunset for you, saying every day, Kapitlech Tehillim, and crying and weeping for you. He sent you to that old yid. Okay, that was his camouflage. He didn't anyone want to know that what he was doing. So we see that was how the way of Gedolei Yisrael. It's not a way when people show off their wares and their successes, like you can have it splurge on the pages of newspapers, all the moifsim and all the, you know, all the wonders which some mekubalim, so-called mekubalim, are doing. That's not the derech ha-toira, not the derech ha-chachomim. Anyhow, we come back to our search for the emes. What answer do we have for really Bnei Aliyah, Baalei Tshuva, who want to grow in Torah and want to come close to Hashem? When are they going to feel spirituality? So the answer is, first of all, at any level, wherever we are, we have tremendous Siyata Dishmaya. We see it with our own eyes. We see people who are late starters in their lives, and we see how they grew in Torah if they really apply themselves. We can see how they grow in Avoida, and they become such Baalei Midas, they become such Elech Yidin, it's unbelievable. But beyond that, as I said before, we can all avail of ourselves through the Sfarim of Gedolei Yisrael, written in a way, in a more diluted form, which is the way that in this generation is good for us. So if in certain yeshivas they're going to have a shiur in Derech Hashem has all the answers that you're going to look for. It's really a very condensed Eitz Chaim. It's a condensed Zohar HaKadosh. Nefesh HaChaim is the same. Many of the Chassidish Sforim are the same. So certainly a person who wants to whet his appetite in a controlled way with Eitzes from his Rosh Hashiva and his Magidei Shiur, when and how, etc., etc. So there are ways that a person can feel that spirituality and can come to know a little bit at least what's beyond the surface, without getting himself involved with Sisrei Torah as they are in the Zohar, the Kisvei Ari, when really a person has to be on a very high level, and more or less the gates are closed for most of us. Maybe we should relate. I understand here we have many of the Talmidim will eventually be serving as Rebonim and Kelas, working with Kiruv. So of course they're going to come face to face with many situations. So it is important to know certain klolim, how to relate to people, and how to recognize the fake from the true people. I wrote a book, as you know, Faith and Folly. So you have the true people, and you have who you're allowed to have faith in and trust in them, but you have many fakes and charlatans, and you have to know to recognize. At this stage, just to give a very simple definition, I would say that you could say the difference between a mekubal and a talmid chochem is the difference between a stomachache and a headache. It means like this. If someone says, I'm a talmid chochem. Talmid chochem, that means you know Shas and Poskim. Yeah. So that we can check. Let's open up a Daf Gemara, say a Shia. Let's hear how you understand Pshat and Tosfos, how you know. Let's see how you are. So a talmid chochem can be checked. But a mekubal, there's no way you can check him. So there's a story. They say the kid wants to avoid going to school. So he tries his luck. He tells his mom, I have a headache. Oh, that means you have fever. She gets a thermometer. No fever, go to school. So next time he had a better plan. He says, mom, I have a stomachache. Why? It's hurting. It's aching. No way. She can't prove anything. So he stays at home. So today a person says, I'm a mekubal. Prove it. You know. There's no way you can prove it. There's no one around to test him to know what a mekubal is. So it's quite a good definition. The great author Or Sameach, in his book Meshech Chochma, he also gave us a way of finding out. In Seder Shmot, I think, Resh Prashat Bo, he writes in his Sefer, he says, there's two separate ways when a person can become a celebrity and recognized by people as some sort of a tzaddik, a bal moifes, etc. He says one way is, for example, I'm adding on, yes, a little bit, to make it more understood. Let's say one way would be the way of the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish started off life in Vilna, sitting in an attic and learning day and night. No one in the world knew about him. After some years, he was already a Gadol B'Torah. He had written anonymously quite a few of his sforim. Few Yechidim of the Gedolei Yisrael knew about him. Chaim Oyser Grudzinski had heard about him. Few of the great Rabbonim in Europe already knew that there was such a shining light in the world hidden away in that little attic. Then, word got around a little bit. So maybe other Rabbonim got to hear about that there's such a Gadol B'Yisrael. A little bit later, even the Talmidei Yeshivas would say, you know, these writings are from this Gadol. And finally he came to Eretz Yisrael and he lived the last 10 or 15 years of his life here. There was not a taxi driver or a vegetable monger or anyone who didn't know. And there was some Gadol B'Yisrael in Bnei Brak called the Chazon Ish. Everyone knew that. So that's one way that a person becomes great. He becomes great through his connection, first of all, with the Gedolim. Then with the Rabbani. Then with the Bnei Teira. Finally, he goes public. That's one way. That's the reliable way. The other way is you hear of people who start out in the marketplace. Their first fans are Balibatim, who, you know, he impresses them, and there's a lot of noise around him. So the next time he comes to a chasna, they let him sit up in the Mizrach with the Rosh Hashivas. So slowly but surely, he's becoming famous. When it comes the time for voting, you need Gedolei Yisrael to give opinions. Of course, he's going to be signing with the Gedolim. He's there. Where did he learn? What does he know? No one asks questions. The whole world is speaking about him. He's doing moifsim, he's giving etzes, he's got, you know, unbelievable things. He's not checked up, but he's already a man de omer, he's already a Gadol B'Yisrael. So the Meshech Chochma says, you want to know if a person, a true Gadol, see where he came from. If he grew out of the Oilem Yeshivas, of the Talmidei Chachomim, of the Gedolei Ador, and then he went public, that's a good sign that he's from the Sisra Kedusha. But if his whole growth and fame developed in the streets, leave him there. He's for sure not one of the Gedolei Yisrael. So we have these nisyonos today. There are many charlatans, and in many kehillas, you have these people roaming around who, I mean, the Gemara says, Bechol Dor, you have, at the time, you had Memches Nevi'im. Today we have a few thousand Nevi'im, if my lists are up to date. Every other guy knows the future. He can tell you, you're going to have a boy, you're going to have a girl, you're going to make money, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. And people believe it. Unfortunately, that when people have a problem, they're going to grab onto anything to save themselves. Anything. Anyone who gives them any hope, they're going to grab. So they're not checking out what they're doing. And really, unfortunately, people go through a lot of suffering because of this. We don't have all the answers. Sometimes some of these people, it seems, have some sort of koyach of intuition. They can be quite prophetic, impressively. They can know hidden things. So sometimes I've checked it out and I found out they have a very good organization of information, of gleaning information. Before they come to a town, they've already had their feelers out. And they heard about Mr. So-and-so and Mr. So-and-so. This one is just divorcing his wife. And this one just, his son was run over, lo aleinu. And this one has lost a lot of money. And this one has some sort of an illness. And this one made a lot of money. And this one has all sorts of things. And when he comes along, he's already a prophet. He knows everything. But others really have this type of a koyach. They can say things. We're not impressed by that. We have to be only impressed by one thing. Open up a Daf Gemara and see if he knows to understand Pshat and Tosfos. If he knows how to learn, we'll consider checking his other points. A person doesn't know how to learn. Baruch Hu is not yet bankrupt. He's not going to throw his Ruach HaKodesh, on every bur ve'am ha'aretz that he's looking for, just splurge it on him. There are Gedolei Yisrael. There are tznuim by Gedolei Yisrael. There are really some Gedolim, hardly anyone knows about them. All their lives, Yegeh b'toyra ve'avoyda, secretly sitting b'arba amos shel halacha day and night and learning with no publicity, with no personal benefit or cover or anything. These are the emes ha'gedolei Yisrael. The Ramchal says something quite shocking in Derech Hashem. He says sometimes a person is an oyved Hashem, he's mechaven l'shem shamayim, he keeps mitzvahs and he learns Torah. And he's working hard, but he didn't work hard enough. He didn't get to the spitz of his potential. He didn't get to the height of what he could have achieved. HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes him by giving him koiches to be mateim. Have you heard of such a thing? So this guy is all of a sudden going to become like psychic, and he's got koiches. He comes, he sees things, he hears things, he knows things. He thinks he's achieve the levels of, who knows who, one of the Nevi'im, Yeshaya or Yirmiyahu. But the emes is, Hashem is bringing it upon him as a Nisoyim. The B'nai Soscha, one of the great rebbes, the famous author of the Sefer B'nai Soscha, and others for him, Admo Medunev his name was, he once said that when he passed the age of 40, doubts left him that his koiches were not from the Sitra Achra, that they were really from Sitra the Kedusha. Then he was beginning to believe that maybe he is really zoiche to his Hatzlocha and Torah and Hatzlocha and other things from the Sitra the Kedusha. Other Hasidim tell a story, and it's a true story. They even know the name of the Rebbe. I'm not aware of it, but they know it's a true story. There was once a Rebbe, a very great Rebbe, Bal Moifes. His brochas were mekuyam, his davening was always coming, his etzes were unbelievable. Everyone felt Ruach HaKodesh. One of his chassidim was always very poor, and as many brochas that he got, it never helped. One day he went to the market, Ala Yarid, it's called the Yarid, and on the way he went through a forest. Passing through, he met an old man, and the man called him and says, "Look, I know you want to become rich, you want to be successful, I'm giving you this dime, start off the business, the next business do with this dime, you'll become a multi-millionaire." So he took the dime, he went, started business, he bought, sold, so he came back a multi-millionaire. He came back to his Rebbe, he gave him a big donation. The Rebbe said, "What happened? How did you make it?" So he told him the story. So the Rebbe said to him, he says, "Look, that man you met in the forest from the Sisra Achra, all your wealth that came through him, you've literally sold yourself to the Satan. You have to go back and beg of him and cry that he takes it back. Every penny. Give it all back." Okay? So he went back into the forest. He wouldn't leave it. The man didn't appear to him. He was crying and screaming. Eventually appeared to him. And he said, "Please take it all back here. Every penny." He said, "No, no way. I'm not taking it back. You're mine now. You're one of the gang." He says, "No, I beg of you, please." "Okay," he says, "I'll make a deal with you. I'll take it back on one condition. If you go back to your Rebbe and you tell him that all his koiches and hatzlocha as a Baal Moifes is also from me. The same makor as you is your Rebbe." Okay, he made a deal. He went back to the Rebbe. The Rebbe heard it. He says, "Ois Rebbe." He took off his fur coats and he went begolis, like chaper avoinoi, and no one heard of him. He went mamish. He became completely secretive and no one heard of him ever again. So in other words, we should not be impressed by when we see someone who is seemingly knowing hidden things. It doesn't even interest us. If you are interested, I could take you here to Shar Shechem, introduce you to a few Arabs who do the same thing. They can do it with a cup of tea, they can do it with a cup of coffee, they can do it all sorts of ways. There are these type of things. It exists. So that's not what impresses us. What impresses us is someone like Rabbi Yoshev, Hashem Yarich Yamav, his son-in-law, Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky, Yidden, who sit and learn Torah, Betara, V'kedusha, who really, we don't see, you know, we see, but we don't see so much of their miracles, of their, you know, on the street corners, the charlatans are doing much bigger miracles than they ever did. So I get a call from, let's say, one of the cities in, could be America, North America, South America, so-and-so is coming, this Rav. He wants to come, we should invite him in the yeshiva, we should invite him in the kehillah, he wants to speak. What should we do? I say, "No way, he'll destroy everything. I mean, you're going to lose the whole harocha. What's a godel b'Yisrael, what's shekel? You can't bring him in." "Yeah, but you know, he knows mamish everything. Everything, I mean, he knows the future, he knows the past. Unbelievable." So I said to them, "Okay, if he's so insisted, he can come. Invite him to the koilel. He should say a shiur. What you learn in Yivames? Okay, let him say a shiur in Yivames. Of course, he doesn't come. This is what he's willing to say a few droshes here and there, but Yivames he's not heard about." Sometimes they're more insistent. "But Rabbi, he wants to come. What can we do? We can't fight with him." So I say, where do your children learn?" They say, "What do you mean? In Talmud Torah, in Yeshiva Ktana, Yeshiva Gdoila, in Koilalim, in Beis Yankiv." I said, "Take them out quick." "What do you mean? How could you say such a thing?" "Take them out. Look, Hazal say, 1,000 nichnasim lebes ha-medrash, ve'ahad yoitze moire ha-roa. 1,000 students have to go into yeshiva for one to come out a poisek. For one to come out like Rabbi Yoshev or like Rosh Hashiva, like Rab Shach, you need maybe 5 million to go into the Beis HaMedrash. Maybe one of 5 million will come out a god like Rab Shach or Rabbi Yoshev. But on the other hand, and what have they done? Nothing. What did Rab Shach do all his life? Nothing. Sacha called the Rosh Shiva of Ponovich. He taught maybe a few hundred thousands of Talmidim. I'm one of them. He wrote his Forim, his Marbis Torah, but he did nothing. He didn't see, you know, angels zooming around him and Moifsim. He didn't see any of that. Everything was very normal. Whereas these people who don't learn in yeshivas, you see, you know, Moifsim, and they know everything, the secrets, everything. So I tell them, take your kids out of yeshiva. They'll become a prophet. Leave them in yeshiva. If they're one in a million, they're going to be a Talmid Chacham. So why you put them in yeshivas? Take them out. Then they begin a little bit to understand what I'm talking about and how stupid they are. They were not meant to be impressed by this. There's nothing to impress us. The Gemara asks, why does Avodah Zarah have success? That means people would go to priests of idol worshippers, and whatever they did, they sprinkle water or give them a red string, whatever they do. And they had Yeshuas. So why does it work? The Gemara answers as a Nisoyan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give us freedom of choice. He shows us that the other side is rosier. Look what's happening. Look what's taking place. Of course, those people who have been in the Far East and seen these gurus in action, they can tell you what you see there, you get with all the Gedolei Yisrael together, you're not going to see it. You're going to see a few old men discussing a halacha. That's what you're going to see. No more. Whereas in those countries, you see all sorts of unbelievable, fantastic things take, miracles happen. The Zohar says, from the Sisra Achra, it's like that. You link up to the occult, you're zooming and flying in 1 minute. You don't need any preparations, you don't need Kedusha, you don't need Tahara, you don't need Chochmah, nothing. Bilam achieved all his higher madregas, even the level of Moshe, through Koiches HaTumah. He had a relationship with his mule. Not nice to say, but Hazal said. So the derech of the tumah is also it works in such ways that adrabba, people do sins and they get madrigas of hasogas in the derech tumah. Whereas in the derech dusha, it doesn't work like that. So what's very important is that we know how to assess correctly gedolei Torah. So everyone said, okay, but maybe he's a tzaddik nister. Why? They see a guy coming along. He doesn't even look like a yeshiva boy, but he's a miracle worker. Just mentioning miracle workers, I want to tell you a true story which took place maybe 10 years ago in Muncie, New York. There was a rabbi there, Mamash Bal Moifas. He became famous in a few years, and every brocha came through. But then there was some very not pleasant rumors about him, that he wasn't behaving nicely with women. So all the Askonim and the Rabbonim and the Moira Haroz of different kehillas went to deal with the situation. So a friend of mine met up with one of the Hoshuva Rabbonim who dealt with the case. I said, "Nu, what happened with the Rebbe? Is he still opening shop? Is the clinic still open?" He says, "We solved the problem." "How did you solve the problem?" He says, "Look, we made mamash, there's a poster outside that no woman is allowed to come in on her home. She can only come in accompanied by a man. And we've made so many takonas that nothing, no problems can happen." So he said, "That's a takona? Why don't you just throw him out?" He says, "No, we need poile yeshuas. We need miracle makers." So you see what's happened in the mind of people have become so stupid, there's no other word, stupid, that they don't know that there's no such thing as hashrosa shchina and siyata deshmaya by a person who's even got an inkling, a nikuda of gaiva, he'll lose ruach hakodesh. If he's got any negir, if he's doing it for money, if he can't have koiches from the sister akdush. There's no way, impossible. But people don't know, they don't realize what's going on. And they're very easily tempted to make these mistakes. Now, the most important thing is the chinuch, our own chinuch, the chinuch of our children, of our kehillas. How are we going to bring up our talmidim? How do we develop them? How do we educate them? Ma ya'ase ben velo yaheta? What's going to be if we find in all sorts of places covered being given to people she'enam lo b'mikra velo b'mishnah ma'amesh burim v'ame haaretz, and they write a goin, a tzaddik, a mekubel. What's going on? Today, for example, I met up a few days ago with one of the main photographers who takes all the pictures for all the newspapers today. As we know, they all have pages and pages of pictures of Gedolei Yisrael. So I said, "You know what responsibility you have? Today, more than anyone else, you're building up world opinion, PR, public relations, for whole of Klal Yisrael and for the future as well. Who is a Tamid Chokham? Who is not a Tamid? Who is a Gadol? Who is a Tzaddik? Who is not a Tzaddik?" And that's a big responsibility, that people are being blown out of proportion with no way. So someone called up one of the Vade, you have today all these of Kupat Ha'ir and Va'adei HaTzedakah, and they use pictures. So still by the Ashkenazi Shegedoilim, it's more or less controlled. You're going to have Rebbe Yoshev, Rebbe Steinman, you're going to have Chaim Kanievsky, more or less, you know, more or less controlled. But by the Sfaradim, it's not at all controlled. So someone called up and said, how do you put this guy in and you label him as a Mekubel, as a godly? He didn't open a Gemara the last 30 years. So he said, look, every Psichas Magbit, he gives us $100,000. Isn't it worth it? Okay, that's a true story. What I'm trying to say is, we can't trust anything. Today we don't know who's in charge. Who's in charge? We don't know who's deciding. And it's dangerous that people can be led astray. The charbonas has come of it. Every day I get phone calls from kehillas all over the world, and as much and more so from Eretz Yisrael, of people whose lives have been manipulated and destroyed by these type of charlatans who lead them astray with all sorts of shtusim v'havolim. So of course it's a big nisoyen, and it's very important at least that Bnei Torah, those who sit down in yeshiva, learn Torah in yeshiva, that they've seen what it is to learn a daf gemara, they've heard shiurim from rabbonim who showed them what yegiyas haTorah is, how you come to a level of learning, and only through that you can maybe see a little bit of the small print and know some of the secrets of the Torah. At least then we'll know that this whole concept of a tzaddik nister, people think, tzaddik nister, what's a tzaddik nister? So they make it easy for themselves. They see a guy, you know, dressed, I don't know, dressed like nothing. Not like a rov. Behaving, not like a rov. Eating, like a behemoth. Nothing. But they say he's a Baal Moifes and he's a Tzadik Nister. This is all his camouflage. He's pretending that he's nothing, but really he's mamish godly. If people ask me, who do I know a Tzadik Nister? Yeah, I knew a Tzadik Nister for sure. One of them that I knew very well was a Steipler. The Gaon Steipler was a Tzadik Nister. Why was he a Tzadik Nister? Because what we know about him, and there are many big, heavy books which have told us a lot about him, and we saw with our own eyes what he was, that was maybe 1% of what he really was. He hid everything. The Gedolei Israel don't show off what they have. They live a life of tzniyus, of hiding themselves. That's a Tzadik Nister. That means most of his actions and his deeds and his dargas is all hidden. What we see is a little efas katzehu tirei, a little pinpoint of his gdula. That's a tzaddik nista. The tzaddik nista doesn't mean someone who walks around the street during narish kiting, behaving like a mishigina, and then say no. But in chedre hadorim is a tzaddik. That's not a tzaddik nista. Tzaddik nista is someone who you don't see him any fault. He's perfect, perfect. In his Torah, perfect in his Avoida, perfect in every single, in his Hashkofa, more so. Hashkofa is even more important. Then maybe, beyond all of that, you could say, he has koiches, he's a tzaddik nister. Whatever we knew and we saw by the Stipler, Mamish, Nisim and Niflos, we see, Be'ibadeh L'chaim Tovim by his son, Reb Chaim, we see Nisim and Niflos, Mamish Ruach HaKodesh, you see by them. We have no questions. Someone who sits and learns Torah day and night, the way they learned, mamish berama chavori mishasa gidim, they makriv the whole of olam hazeh for their Torah. So they're on such a spiritual level. Of course, they can get to have koiches that Hashem will guide them and give them at least ruach hakodesh to help people make the right decisions. Quite often, their decisions are not even secheldik, and you see there that it's not just logic or, you know, I give people advice. Very logical. Yeah, that's right. Makes sense. They say things sometimes doesn't even make sense, but they're right because they're seeing beyond the human mind. They have some level of Ruach HaKodesh, but that can only be by Gdoili Yisrael and Kedoshi Elyon, people who are living a holy life, a life B'Kedush. So we should never be led astray and be very careful because these things are very important. These are Yisoide HaYisoides. It's who's going to make the decisions in the future for Klal Yisrael, Who are the Gdolim who are going to lead Klal Israel? Who are the Gdolim who are going to give opinions of how one is meant to learn? How yeshiva should be developed? What's the Shittas HaLimud? What's the Shittas HaVoida? How do you keep things? How do you do? What's the right proportion between this and this? If you don't have proper anhoga, and if people are going to get hold of the reins who are not on the right level, but today the mass media can build them up into tzaddikim and goyonim and all sorts of things, we're in big danger. Klal Yisrael Hashem is big danger. So it's very important that together with your learning in yeshiva, you grow yourselves in Torah, and you also grow in your appreciation of the Emes HaGidoylim, to know what the truth is. And then Hashem will mizakeas, a person who, it says, Haba letaher misayin lo, someone who comes forward to work hard, to improve, Hashem will help him, Hashem will help you grow, will help you develop in Torah, and grow from level to level, to know Torah and all his halakim, to be gdoyle Torah, why not? Torah munachat bekeren zavit, anyone who wants to be zoiche, be a masmid, work hard, you'll get there. Shashem izakeh etchem, l'lmod, l'amed, l'shmol, l'asod, l'agdil, Torah, v'la'adira. Amen.